puke. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I just posted it on my Facebook page, and I think it's true. Only the wicked or the deranged would be proud to call themselves Democrats this morning. And amazing to watch last night. I said to my wife, I said to Michelle, in fact, I posted this on Facebook as well, that there were millions of people who were watching President Trump unfiltered by the media for the first time since he's been president. And I think that, you know, when they listened to what he had, it was brilliant, really. I mean, it was brilliant. You listen to what he have to say. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I'm going to get into that here in a minute. What's going on? Some things that I've noticed. But I got to be a good boy here, and I got to go to, I have to go to my lineup here, so I don't miss anything that's important. We have to cover here before we really get rolling. Day three of the fast. I forgot to even mention it yesterday. I want to encourage those of you who are fasting to understand this. The first couple days, 3 days, are the hardest. They are the hardest. So if you've never done it and you're in right now, you're in the middle of day three, I'm going to tell you this. The Holy Spirit's going to take over, and your desire and urge to eat is going to diminish. So, you know, you get a lot of, I can't think how many times I walked by yesterday and reached to grab something to throw in my mouth. Just every time that urge comes upon you, just call upon the name of the Lord. Not help me, Lord, but just thank you. Just thank the Lord for who he is and what he is. Just instead of throwing that physical food down your mouth, just call out the name of the Lord that he would be able to fill you. I don't know how many are still gone, and you're not getting brownie points if you do or if you don't. But I sense there are really, really big things happening, not only here in the queue. I think we're on the verge. We here. God is on the verge of doing something through what we're doing here. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. So whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, this is a good time in the midst of this fast to try to really zero in on it. Lord, what is it? Direct me, guide me, Lord. Show me, give me ears and give me eyes, Lord, and help me to see. And Lord, help me more importantly, more than anything, Lord, help me to recognize your voice. That small, still voice that I hear, Lord, that when I'm driving to work, or Lord, when I'm running the sweeper, that wouldn't be me, sorry, whatever I'm doing, Lord, that thought that comes to me, Lord, let me hear it, your voice. Let me to hear it and help me to obey it. And in the midst of it, your impact, your spiritual growth, it's all going to increase and it's all going to get stronger. So I encourage all of you to continue to do it. Remember, you're not fasting to get brownie points with the Lord. Drink fluids. There's a cleansing process that's taking place physically inside of your body. Drink fluids to wash that stuff out of you. Pee a lot. We used to tell our football guys during two-a-days, pardon me for, man's show, right? Tell our football guys, pee until it's clear. Pee until it's clear. So if you are on a fast and you're still having a colored urine, that's a good thing, man, because it's cleaning out your system. And so continue to drink fluids, pee until it's clear. All right. And again, just let the Lord be your guide. Anybody, any questions or anything I can say about, anybody wants to ask or I can help anybody on with that? Most of you have done it before. You know what it's about. Issue number two. I want to make a couple comments about our show yesterday. Think about it with Steve. And listen, folks, I never, ever put Steve out there as a biblical expert. Okay. I do that a lot. When we bring guests to the show, I brought Steve on because of his unique ability to say, hey, dude, think about it. All right. Think about it. Now, I know about you guys. Jeff Nell got going yesterday on that flat earth thing. That came out of nowhere, by the way, Jeff. But I think those kind of things, folks, listen to me. The Bible says to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is within you. And you, as a Christian, if someone comes along to you and you're witnessing to them on the street or you're doing whatever's going on, and somebody comes up to you and says to you, well, tell me, dude, do you think the earth's flat? You ought to have a response. And you ought to have some type of educated response. And the only way that you can get an educated response is to understand these are questions the world is asking. You ought to have a response for it. If somebody comes along and says to you, hey, what do you think about the Nephilim? Are you going to be one of those people that says, huh? Who? What? Or are you going to be able to give an educated response to it? So, of course, Steve and I don't line up theologically with everything. I don't even know what Steve believes. I don't even know. And because he believes something doesn't mean I believe it. But why would – I thought it was good. I thought what he brought on to us was good. And I'm going to bring other guests in there that are going to cause you to think. Oh, think about it. Right? Think about it. That was the point of Steve. Think about it. And he's got 500,000 followers, so certainly somebody must be thinking about it. And what have I done all day on since I got up on my Facebook page? I've been posting memes that make people think about it. Now, I don't put think about it at the end of it, but I make people think. Yeah, George?
You know, remember a couple of the trips we've taken within the last few years to where we've had, you know, hours in the car together? That's been one of the most fun things is – it's just the out of bounds things we've talked about, and it doesn't matter if I have agreed to the T on everything. It's just the fact we have the freedom to talk about it and to think about it and to see, to challenge each other to see if we could go to a deeper level of truth.
Amen, buddy. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. I believe Steve more than the Pope.
Amen, Coach. Hey, Coach.
You go ahead and believe the Pope if you want to. You go ahead. See how they dress up in their costumes? Why do they have to have costumes? Why do they put on Halloween outfits? Why does the Pope wear a Halloween outfit? Where does that come from? Why do those bishops all have Halloween outfits that they run around in?
Because Semiramis said so.
Yeah. There's something there. There's something that, hey, think about it. Right? And so when I said yesterday, is it possible the Bible was parts of the Bible were censored? Hey, it was those guys wearing those funny hats and dressing in those outfits that probably were the ones that edited it.
Hey, Coach, they think they're druids.
I don't even know what it is, but they think they're druids. They dress in costumes. And supposedly the costumes mean something, right? So listen, you're going to watch our show, you're going to get more of that stuff. Don't get more of it. And, you know, I run the risk every time I do something like that I lose credibility. I run that risk. I'm not afraid of that risk. I'm not afraid of it. Steve, yesterday, presented some stuff that made me think. I think that's good. Think about it. Think about it. Okay. Come on, let Serge come in. Go ahead, Serge.
I don't know how to say this, but I'm just fed up. You know, I don't even know why you even have to say what you're saying. This is what your show is all about, making us think about it. And, you know, if there's guys out there that are acting like little babies and pissed off or ticked off that he brought up things to make you think about it, you know what? How with them? Get them off the show. Tell them to get out of here.
Hey, Coach, it's time to get busy.
Listen, folks, yeah, that's right. I want you guys to understand this, okay? Listen, I want you to understand this. There are people out there who will take, here's why I said that, Serge. There are people out there who will take what I say to try to, try to make me look bad, to try to disqualify me with others, all right? That's the only thing I'm saying. It is ridiculous, but it's the reality of it, right? So somebody will send a clip to somebody. Do you see, Coach, he said this. Do you believe this? So just understand that's what's going on. And Mark, you're right. It's time to get busy. David Arthur, keep David Arthur in prayer. Wait a minute. Paul, did you want to come in?
No, I was just going to say, Coach, you're like what universities and churches should be.
You should. Hey, you should go to university to think about it, shouldn't you? Not be told what to believe. You should go to church to think about it, not to be told what to believe.
Amen.
Should be in discussion that, yeah, yep. Amen. 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 Cool. David Arthur, brother, they still haven't finished the arrangements. I spoke to him. I haven't spoken to him yet this morning. I don't know if David's in here or not. And I'm going to cover his show this morning for him at 9:00. And his brother, 51 years old, dropped over. They did an autopsy, natural causes. And it happened to anybody anytime. Keep David in your prayers. And he does need some money. I made that point yesterday. And if you just go to alphabetmanlive.com, go to his website, alphabetmanlive.com. You can donate right online. I made a donation yesterday. He emailed me almost immediately, said, thanks, Coach. So the money that you put into his account goes right in there. Stay away from PayPal. Just go to his website and donate on a credit card, and he can get access to that money right away. We're praying for you, David, your mother, and all of that. Todd's doing better. Spoke to Leslie yesterday. Michelle spoke to Leslie, had a good conversation with her. Did not speak to Todd, but they got Todd back in, some IVs back in him, and it was a minor setback. But keep Todd in your prayer. Keep calling him and talking to him. He enjoys the fellowship with all of you. And, of course, Jennifer Campbell, I haven't heard from. Exactly. She was getting better. The tumor was shrinking. It's the last I heard on that. So there's somebody else to keep in prayers, and I'm trying to roll down the list here. Okay. Anybody else? Anything? Hey, Mark, where are we? Or Jim? I haven't seen who's in here. Who's in there? What's going on in Florida there, Mark? Maybe you can help me there.
Yeah, I'm going to be making a last pass of calls. I've confirmed several. I'm going to just make sure that everyone's ready to go. They know where to go. They know when to be there. So if you're on the list, expect a call. If you're not, really appreciate everyone supporting. I know we want to make another trip back come summer, so stand by for more details.
Yes, we have not paid for this trip. I hate to be asking for money. But the money thing is, if everybody gives $20, the money pressure goes away. We don't have pressure from it anyway. But we're going to take a cruise about 30 down there, and there's going to be expenses involved with it, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Let's see what else I have up here.
Hey, Coach. Yep. I wanted to ask about Robbie Waksman. What do you know about his condition?
I have not. Robbie, of course, was Rusty Thomas's son-in-law. I know that he had surgery. I know that he's on chemo. I have not heard. So I'll check that out, Victor.
I have not
seen anything. On the Facebook is normally where I hear about Robbie. I know he needs his prayers. I know that family needs our prayer, and he's in a battle for sure.
Amen.
Coach. Yes.
Is Larry on? Larry's on. What we're doing is Larry's volunteered to cook, and I've asked Jim to make sure the cook at the church who has been catering for us, him and Larry can get together before Larry goes down and talk a little bit.
I had a brief conversation with Larry yesterday as well. And Jim Kraft, I'm going to get you Larry's number so that you guys can talk that over. Larry, you know, Larry's going to come down there and cook. Everyone wants to know what kind of kitchen he has. Is there anything he needs to bring with him? Yada, yada, yada. So Jim, I'm going to, or Larry, maybe you could stick your, is Larry in here? Larry's always in here. Okay, Larry, if you can, Larry, just get your number to Jim Kraft over there, however you want to do it, and you and Jim can communicate on that, because I really don't know, have the answer for you, some of that stuff. Cool?
Hey, looking forward to that.
I'll put my number in the chat right now for Jim.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, man, he's actually contacting the church, and we'll get with Larry. So I think
all right. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, that's all we need. Okay, now, you know what we saw yesterday, fellas? Jezebel is alive and well in America.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Amen.
Did you notice that the Democrats all wore white to stand in solidarity with Ralph Northam?
I mean, Vinny, that's what I'm saying. There's something happening here. Two things. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me today. Two things that were very, very apparent to me. The worst thing they could ever do was put Nancy Pelosi on television for an hour and a half like that. Did anybody coach her to let her know that she was going to be on camera all the time? And I'm convinced that people sitting there who had never heard, really, had never heard from President Trump, as I said, was maybe it was before the show or when we came on, millions of people last night saw him unfiltered. CNN couldn't comment on it. MSNBC, they couldn't comment on it. They heard the president speak last night, and he did not sound like a wild and crazy guy. But as he's standing up there looking like an adult, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, it was amazing. Did she not know that? Filling through papers, texting. I mean, it was crazy.
Hey, Coach.
And then, hang on, Paul. And then to see those women dressed in white acting like little children, pouting, sucking on their thumb. The only time they cheered was when he talked about women. Then they got up and they were all excited. The Jezebel spirit. I'm going to get into that. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was going to say a couple of things. You know, last week when you showed that picture of the signing of the bill, weird. Look to show that again, but if you look at that picture, you see almost signing the bill. You have the two women; they're smiling like crazy. Right. In the background, the guy that's in the back, he kind of has a frown on his face, and it took me back to when we go to this abortion clinics and we see these men.
Paul, are you using George's phone this morning?
Yes.
Breaking up. I know you're saying something good, man. You're breaking up. Is it just on my end? Are you guys hearing him okay?
No.
Or he's breaking
no.
up.
No.
You're breaking up, Paul. I know you got something. I know you're saying something really, really good, but it's not coming through. I'm going to shut you down there until we get that. Can we get that figured out? You're right. And folks, did anybody? I was going to put it up there today, but I didn't. Donald Trump is protecting the preborn more than most pastors. More than most pastors. Donald Trump last night. You can say, "Well, Coach, he's lying. He grabs pussies." Yeah, I get it. President Trump stood up last night and said that those unborn children were created in the image of God. Each one of them created in the image of God. You ever hear George Bush, either the Bushies say that, or Romney, or McCain, or Paul Ryan? You ever hear any of those people say that? And I was thinking last night, you know, Donald Trump doesn't have a political party behind him. You know that, don't you? He didn't have one. And I was thinking last night, the Bushes, McCain, and Romney, those are the last four. George W., maybe Bob Dole's in there. No, he was 84. None of them voted for Donald Trump. You know that? None of the Bushes, none of the Grampy Bushes, none of the young Bushes, not McCain, not Romney, none of them voted for Donald Trump. None of them. And so here he is, this guy without a party. And because he doesn't have the influence of the party trying to drag him down, he stood up and said what he thinks. Abortion's wrong. Abortion's wrong, and we're going to put an end to partial birth abortion. Now, everybody's going to sit back and they're going to criticize him because, well, he ain't going to get that done. Because you know why? Because it matters more to him than it does to the church. Some of these issues the church has to pick up and run with. Now, did you see this? Probably didn't. All that work and all that prayer and those 70,000 signatures to Governor Abbott for Rusty Thomas's son. Did Governor Abbott keep his promise? Did he mention it yesterday in the State of the Union down in Texas? No.
Cricket.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, Coach, you're right. Whether he's sincere or disingenuous, that's really not the point. He's opened the door.
Yes, sir.
And you know what?
Amen.
He's given we, the church, we, the people of the United States, the power now to put political pressure on the politicians. He's opened that door. And so you're right. That's the point. And you know what? The church at large has taken the ball and they keep dropping it.
They don't even take it, right? They don't even take it. My wife had a conversation with somebody yesterday talking about this horrible decision that went down in New York, and asked her, did your pastor talk about it? Oh, yeah, my pastor talked about it from the pulpit. Really? Wow! He talked about it?
The question is, did they not talk about it? The question, did you do or are you doing anything about it?
Are you doing anything about it? Talking about it? They probably talked about the Super Bowl as well. Folks, we have to move beyond talking. The church has to move beyond talking. Now, I hesitated to do this 3 times since the show began. I pushed this back down. I just heard from the Holy Spirit the 4th time. So I'm going to, Jared, bring up, I heard you, Lord. Jared, bring up Psalm 82. Psalm 82.
Hey, Coach, when you're going there, Donald Trump has a party. He's the party of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Dale, and we still can't see it. Although I saw that last night, 78% of people approved of the speech, which meaning there are some Democrats out there who are Americans who saw it in a different light last night.
CNN praised him. CNN.
Something going on. Something's happening here. Psalm 82 came into my spirit this morning.
King Cyrus.
A psalm of Asaph. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he judgeth among the gods. I could preach right there, but I'm not. There are more than one God. Huh? There are other gods. There it is. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? What a phrase that is, right? David is saying, God is saying, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person? How long are you going to let these scoundrels, these Jezebels, rule over you? Is what the Lord is saying. See, the Lord doesn't say, let's pray them out, or, well, they're going to be in charge till the end, and we win in the end. No, no, no. He says, how long are you guys going to put up with this crap? I don't know. Could you put crap in the Bible? Would that be sacrilegious? Verse 3, defend the poor. And what? The fatherless. Hey, folks, that be those kids getting killed in the abortion clinic. Their daddies have deserted them. They are fatherless. Defend the poor and the fatherless, and do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Hey, the Lord's ticked off because we ain't doing this. Do you get what he's saying? And have you ever seen a group of people who rule over us any more than the privileged white people in that room last night? Those women dressed in white, so privileged. And he's asking us, church, hey, how long are you going to let them judge like that? How long are you going to let them folk be in charge?
Dave.
Careful, Dave. I don't like where this is going. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, and they applauded themselves more.
Yeah,
they applauded the vet, the cancer, the girl had cancer. I mean, they were like a narcissist group. And once they got their little limelight, they applauded on themselves more than any other aspect of the speech.
So let me ask you this, Roger. How can a woman, Nancy Pelosi, have such power over everyone in that room? And she does. Don't let there be no. If you stood up and clapped, and she didn't give the approval, your ass is grass. I noticed something. I'm going to give you a little tidbit. Joe Manchin, Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, he's going to be switching parties soon. You watch. He stood up several times last night. Let's go back to Psalm 82. Go back. He'd be a Democrat. Defend the poor, the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and the needy. This is a very short psalm, but this is a mic drop. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Now, boys and girls, who right now have the poor and needy in their hands. I'm waiting.
Democrats.
Unbelievable. Government, particularly Democrats specific.
Well, those that would kill them have them in their hands.
Well, they would do that, wouldn't they? Planned Parenthood would kill them, right? Let's be honest here. Hey, can I be honest with you? There were people in that room last night who already voted to war to send your grandson to be killed in Afghanistan or Syria. Trump's trying to get us out, and there's a group of people that want to send your kids to be killed. You don't have to say amen. It's just the truth. They're not sending their kids.
Amen.
They know not. Neither will they understand, for they walk on in darkness. Who's he talking about? Those who have hold of the poor and the needy. All the foundations of the earth are out, of course. It's screwed up. Why? Because the wrong people are in charge. Now listen to me. Those of you who want to say, well, there he goes with that seven mountains things again, trying to build God's kingdom here on earth. Well, I'm just trying to bring his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Just trying to, do you really think that I think that we can Christianize and make this world of a kingdom? How stupid are you? But for us not doing anything, we're letting the devil run opposed. He's telling us right here, defend the poor and the fatherless. How long are you going to let those people be in charge? Jared, go back to verse 2. I think that's what it says in verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked?
Amen, Coach.
I'm just reading the Bible. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it down about here, though.
Well, and what we've allowed in the church is the social justice foundationally built on communism to sprout up to deal with these issues instead of the church dealing with these issues.
How about Trump last night? He said, we're never going to be a socialist country. Oh, boy. I bet pastors ran and hit on that one.
Hello. Good morning, fellas.
What's that?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I just want to chime in again on the abortion issue.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had, Coach, I had sent you another email yesterday. I hope you got it as well. And I had called yesterday just to let you guys know that, yes, these days were planned for us since the 60 that I know of. And I had sent you an agenda strictly from Planned Parenthood showing that these days, for example, the increase in homosexuality, how they were going to throw fertility control agents in the water supply. Abortions weren't even legalized, and how they had all this sex education curriculum planned for us in one of their memorandums all the way back in 69. So right. This really isn't anything new, but it's all been planned. I sent you an email. I think you responded to it, and I'm going to send you another email. And I also sent you one of the LGBT agendas as well, saying that they were requesting child sex back in 1972.
What name are you sending it to me under so I can find it? And by the way, are you a relatively new listener?
Yes, correct. I am. I'm pretty much new. I found out about you through Activist Mom. Correct.
Okay. Because see, we've been doing this for 3 years. We've been talking about all this stuff for 3 years, all of it, about the foundations, what happened to us, how they infiltrated, all that kind of stuff. I appreciate your effort. Send it to me. God bless you. We've been riding on that horse for a while. So welcome to the club. Verse 6, I have said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Boys and girls. Believers are going to rule and reign here on earth. 1,000-year millennial reign. Do we understand that? We understand that? Easy peasy. Okay. Let's move on. One more thing, Jared. Go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. Somebody want to come in here?
I do, Coach.
Somebody say, Coach, you're doing pretty good. I feel like I am. Come on in here.
Hey, I just wanted to say when Donald Trump was talking about the abortion issue and them ripping, rip, He said RIP again. He said that before.
Last night. He said it again last night. RIP.
And with them doing that, and he was he went off totally off script right there. And he was going to say more, and then he stopped. Did you notice that?
I did stop.
He did refrain from going further, but I could sense that he's pissed off about this. Just my two cents.
Yeah, you know what? The abortion battle is winnable right now. If the church would get involved. Right now it's winnable. 1 Samuel 15, verse 20. You ought to read this entire chapter.
Get in there Dave, can I get in there 1 second? Okay, yes. With this fast that we're doing, some of us are doing, Okay, I would ask everyone that's fasting to be repenting for all of these deaths that have happened under our watch.
Amen.
That's what it's going to take. And then we need some pushback to get out here and whatever it is, we need to come and take the initiative and go on the offense and seize the day. Seize the day. Whatever it is. That's why our prayers need to be aggressive. Go out there on the attack and quit being bullied. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I got.
Okay. Chad, you're getting me going now. Getting me going.
I'm gonna take it a step further. Chad, you're exactly right. And y'all remember this. We have our freedoms right now.
We do, brother.
We have the ability to do things right now that we may not be able to do in a very soon tomorrow. So think about what Chad's saying. It's very important.
Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 15, verse 20. Hey, picture the government here, all right? And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've bought Agag, the king of Amalek. And they utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So I did what the Lord told me to do. I went in there, I took over, and I killed them all. But the people took them for the spoil. The people came in and they had greed and they took it. They took the sheep and the oxen. By the way, that's what produces. That's product. That's fruit. The chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He said, are you going to bring that crap that you got from somebody else and sacrifice that to the Lord? You think that's going to work? Says, behold, baby, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Here's where I'm going. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Did you see that in the room last night? Did you see rebellion as a sin of witchcraft in that room last night? That Jezebel spirit, that rebellious spirit. See, here's the good thing. Oh, that Jezebel spirit's alive and well. Alive. What if the men all went in there and dressed in black? I think if I was running for Congress, that's what I'd do. So next Supreme Court justice thing, we're dressing in black. We're red. We're all the men are going to dress in red. But rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, see? And here's the difference. You read the story of Jezebel, you're going to find out the only reason Jezebel was able to be successful was because Ahab was a wussy. Wherever there is a strong Jezebel spirit, you will find a weak man, a weak leader. Jezebel is up against it, boys and girls. Trump ain't no Ahab. He ain't no Ahab. But Ahab is standing there. Trump is standing there opening the door saying, come on in, church, because it's the church that'll make America great again, not Trump. Not republicanism, none of that stuff. And I'm telling you, if you don't have eyes to see and understand the time in which we live, if you don't understand the importance right here and right now, if you cannot see that the Lord has called them to battle, he has surrounded the enemy. He has exposed the enemy. He has exposed them as baby killers, as one antichristers, as those who hate Christ. He's exposed them. And what? Wait a minute. Jared, what did verse 20 say? What did verse 20? I'll make sure I'm reading this right. And Saul said unto Samuel, I've obeyed the voice, Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord has sent me. And I brought along the Salt and Light Brigade and other Christian people who are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we killed that Antichrist spirit, and we have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. That's where we're sitting. That's where we are sitting right now. The ability to destroy this abortion beast, to be able to destroy this Jezebel spirit. Hey, I love women. I love women. Can I tell you the truth? Michelle, I love you. I love you, Michelle. She ain't got no business in Congress. She's too emotional. I love her to death. She's too emotional.
Amen, Coach.
And you know what else we see? I was watching last night. Those men stand. I was watching those sissy men stand up in there and applaud those, honor those women because they were. Don't you see the Ahab spirit in the Congress? Can't you see it bending over to women? Oh, see now you say, boy, that coach, he sure is chauvinistic. No. I'm just trying to open your eyes to see.
Hey, Coach.
And Trump stands up there, and he couldn't care less if they're women. He wants to get the job done. Yeah, come on in.
There's few examples, but there are examples of strong women that turned into to leaders.
God bless strong women. God bless.
And there's very few examples of Jesus getting angry. So some of these things that the Bible reveals in moderation are the exceptions sometimes, not what should be the norm. And if you think about it, how many examples are there of Jesus getting angry? But you know that if he'd have watched that little boy on stage that you showed us in a strip club with men perverts giving money to strippers, I don't think we would have seen a nice, calm Jesus. And I think there's many stories like that he was a part of, and it's not in the Bible because anger is a dangerous emotion for him to portray.
Amen. So Mark
is, yeah.
So let me take you back a few years, 10 years maybe. I was part of a church. Todd, you'll know this church very well. Todd's in here. I think you'll know which one I'm speaking of. And we were in a men's meeting, men's break, whatever one of those things where, you know what those are like, right? And the pastor gets up there, and of course, he's going to do us a teaching on the attributes of Jesus. And he read something, and I've made the cardinal sin. When he got through reading it, I raised my hand. And I said, Pastor, can we look at something else? And I took them to Luke, I think it's 7, whatever. And I read about John the Baptist. And I said, isn't John the Baptist, isn't he an earthly example of what Christian men ought to be? I saw the smoke start coming out of his ears. And I was called into the principal's office afterwards, having the temerity to bring that up. Mark, my point is this. All of the guys in the Bible are our examples, not just Jesus. John the Baptist followed Jesus. The Apostle Paul followed Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Let me be your example. And when John the Baptist got his stinking head cut off for going to the king's wife and calling her a whore, what did Jesus say? That's my boy. Of all those ever born to a woman, nobody better than that guy. Jesus didn't say, John was so harsh, he makes Christianity look so bad, he should never have done that. He got what he deserved. No. You're teaching us a different Jesus, boys and girls.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, what was making me so mad last night is when all these guys that kept standing up and applauding for the president, I want to see them when it comes time to vote, that we have 100% supposed conservative Republicans backing up the president. Nobody can cop out. If they're all applauding so much, well, they should
they should back up everything that the president legislates and you know, sends to them, and quit giving us the optics of all this pomp and ceremony that they're doing.
That's it. It's all phony. It's all fake. It's like church. It's just a different kind of church. That's all it is. And what you have in the room is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Republicans and the Democrat. Other than that, it's just church. That's all it is. And we can't see through it. And we can't understand that the Lord said to you, come out of them. Come out of there. Be ye separate. And don't touch that unclean thing. Lay down your life that others might live. Don't be okay with abortion. Don't go to church on Sunday and stand up there and tell me how much you love me when they're murdering babies down the street. Don't be doing that. I think is what he says.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
A little update on our Saturday at the clinic. I got some people wanting to go. Now, we're not going to rely on these pastors, but we're putting the invite out. Two out of the four are going. The other two are going to see if they can clear the schedules to go with us.
Clear the schedules. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they're going to check. So I'm letting them check and get back with me. But I met a guy in a doctor's office over in Columbus yesterday. I think his last name's Rudd. It's been recently on the show. He's been to clinic a couple times. I think he's new following the show. Him and his wife were in there. And he looked at me. It was amazing how we met on Tangier River Road in a doctor's office. He looked at me and said, aren't you Jeff Klein? I said, yeah. I'm like, I didn't know who he was. Then I noticed I'd seen him at the clinics before. Him and his wife are going to try and get over there. And even Mary Jane, my wife, that has never went with us in 15 years to the streets anytime. She's all for me going. She is so ticked right now. She's going with us this Saturday. But then I met a black guy on the way home, a guy selling T-shirts and hats for Trump along the road. I said, oh, I got to pull in and get one of these new Trump hats. So I pulled in, got a great conversation with this black man, Christian. He's got kids. He is fired up, and I explained to him everything we usually tell him at the clinics about Margaret Sanger, where the clinics are located. He was devastated. He could not believe it, and so I left him my business card. I think he's going to meet us. He knows right where the clinic's at, the intersection this Saturday. And then I told him when I left, I said, after we had a great talk, I left him with Pastor Flip's one saying. I said, brother, I said, this guy always says everybody wants to follow Jesus till they find out where he's going. I'm heading to my car. He looks at me and he goes, oh, he said, that was deep. I said, brother, I'll see you at the clinic Saturday morning and bring some friends. So he's fired up, but that's what I'm using right now. Get these people out.
Listen, folks, listen. Bless you, Jeff. Listen. I want to say this in a way that I guess I don't care how I say it. Somebody help me out here. Can somebody help me out here?
Yeah, too many people want to go back and bury the dead that aren't even dead yet.
Yeah, help me out here a second.
Hey, Coach, I got it. Are you ready?
No, wait a minute. This is coming from deep up down inside me, Vinny. Then I'll come to you. Why is Jeff Klein, Coach Dave, and Randy, and George, and Rob Pugh, and I could go on and on. Why are we begging our pastors to please come protect the unborn? Isn't it backwards?
Right.
Isn't it backwards? Shouldn't they be telling their people, please follow me. Let's go save the children.
Well, Coach, you know what it is, brother? The freaks took it too far this time. They took it too far, and now people are waking up. Now we're going to start protecting children. Now we're going to start standing up for the unborn.
Maybe, Vinny. Maybe. Maybe. I'll see. How many pastors are acting? Well, I'll get off that horse.
It's the right horse, though, brother. It's the right horse.
It is the right horse.
Coach, if you haven't
done anything in the last 2 weeks to fight abortion, if you're a pastor and you haven't actively pushed back against the slaughter of unborn children, pardon me, what the hell is wrong with you?
Amen, Coach. The fact of the matter is, for all of us, as Christians, if we can't realize the atrocity of abortion, the murdering and the slaughtering of innocent children, we can't figure out anything.
Well, yeah, no kidding. If they won't protect, what did we just read? Hey, Jared, get Psalm 82 back up there again. I want to make sure I read the right thing. Now, I get it. It's Old Testament. This is before the age of grace. I get it, right? I get it. What are we in trouble for? How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? How are you going? How long? We're a captive, captured nation. Christians are captives in the midst of a secular government. We win in the end, though, Coach. We win in the end. Really? Really?
Hey, Coach.
Hang on a second. You know, right now, I got it up here. I don't know if I'll have time to pull it up. You know, the state of California trying to outlaw Christianity, basically. Did you know that? Did you know that there's producing a bill right now to outlaw Christianity? Well, Coach, that means Jesus is almost here. Come on in, Paul.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the greatest enemy isn't the ghouls that are for these abortion bills. It's the people in the church.
They're acting like sinners, that's all. They're just acting like sinners.
I always say that, Coach. The most idiotic people I know beyond the people of Cortez and Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi are the idiots who would vote them into office.
There's a lot of them.
They're in there from voter fraud. And that's it. Now, I also understand here in the Texas legislature, there's at least four bills pushing the same thing California is. They said that Christianity is this and this and that and the other. So there's going to be some pushback. There's going to be some issues.
So folks, that's what it is, man. We are right now in the Valley of Decision, I believe. We're in the Valley of Decision. And what we're going to do. And is our voice going to be welcome to be heard? Are we allowed to be part of it? Is the church, persona non grata? Is the church not allowed to be involved in any of this stuff? And we'll let the secularists and their gods rule and reign over us? That's what he's asking, verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? How long are you going to let them rule over you? He says. Yes, was that Roger, whoever, men?
This is Randy, Coach.
Hey, Randy.
Coach, this is what I see. I've listened, and man, you're preaching the truth. I mean, you're stirring me up big time. This is where we're at, guys. We need to, when the man, Jeff Klein, the man in the office there in the doctor's office, reach over and touch him and say, Lord, put the fear of God in this man rather than the fear of man.
Yes.
We're at the point, Coach. We're ready to go. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to blow this thing open. But we need to hear. We need to touch every man and woman this is being revealed. Jezebel's being revealed, Coach. We need to free the people by the Spirit. We need to touch them. And I'm telling you, when the scales fall off their eyes, they're going to be another one of us.
Yeah, I believe
we're
that.
At the threshold, Coach. We are at the threshold right now. We need to do this.
Hey, Coach, do you know what spirit Jezebel hates the most? The spirit of Elijah, the one that is boisterous, the one that will literally get in the face and mock him. Oh, maybe your God is relieving himself. Maybe he's sleeping. Donald Trump, I'm not saying he's a Christian or not, but he carries a mantle of Elijah. He's not afraid to stick a finger in the eye of Jezebel.
That's right, brother. That's right. Something going on. Hey, Jared, I just said California bans Christianity. Put that up there because people don't believe me.
Well, Dave, I was just going to say that we should expel our voices before blood gets expelled.
I'm with you, Chad.
Amen.
Here it is, a new bill. Just listen. This is 2 minutes. We won't watch it all. Just this, a new bill in California. Hey, wake up! Trump's saying, come on in here, church. Please come in here, church. Please. Oh, we can't go in there. He grabs pussies. He talks harshly. He doesn't act like a Christian. Go ahead and play this, Jared. A minute of it anyway.
Essentially criminalizing religious beliefs. And I don't mean to speak in hyperbole here, but if this bill were to pass, would this prohibit the sale of the Bible that teaches these things about sexual morality?
Well, literally, according to how this law is written, yes, it would. This is,
PC culture, politically correct culture, gone horribly awry. This is really directly hitting at our First Amendment rights as American citizens. Now the Democrat legislators in this building right behind me, the California State Legislature, they want to tell you how to think, what sort of books that you can read, write, and purchase. It is completely wrong. It is absolutely against our First Amendment rights. And I, for one, will be a vocal opponent against this if it ever hits the assembly floor.
Right. I mean, some of the phrasing here, I read it in the introduction. I want to read it again.
Okay, Jim, I don't want to waste all the time watching this. This is what this
hey, Coach.
Called. Yeah.
I believe in abortion. They should abort that bill.
They should abort the guys who are trying to pass it, too, if you want my honest opinion.
Hey, Coach.
I'm looking for something. Yeah.
One other thing I'm thinking about doing. Hey, man. Stopping this. You know, when we come back from Columbus Saturday morning, I've given this some thought. We still have all them protesters on the square, them far-left liberals every Saturday from 12:30 to 1. We think we're going to have enough to hold signs. We got at least 12 of the aborted baby things from Mark Harrington, the big posters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm thinking we all swing the whole caravan up to the public square with all them liberals on that square and line that square with these abortion signs. It'll only be 30 minutes. We can make a swing through there and take another stop on the way home. That will just fire them up.
Well, we need to do something, brother. We need to do something. And by the way, is Chad's point and Mark's point, wherever you are, you ought to be doing something. Quit waiting on me to call a play in Arkansas. Quit waiting on me to call a play in Oregon. Amen. Call a stinking play. Find some like-minded people and call a play. Begin to build a downline. Begin to build around you a group of people who will go with you. Mark Trump, you were in Iowa. You saw how our little band of people with some signs and some gravel in our spine, what an impact we had there.
Coach, all you got to do is pick up your phone and find out what the number of your reps and your senators are. And, you know, if you don't do anything else, is just call. How hard is it to call? And then go ahead and get in their ear and don't cut loose until, you know, you start to see the action. You know, I called Cornyn's office and I called Hurd. I didn't call Cruz, but I called the governor. And I'm going to do that every day from now on. Every day I'm going to call them and I'm going to be steady in their ear because, you see, this is all just a fallacy that they're showing us that they're going to support the president, but they really aren't. And when we want the abortion to end, it starts by us getting in their ear and showing them that we're not going to stop until they actually stop it. Now, with Governor Abbott stepping back, man, we might have to vote him out because he gave Jeremiah his promise that he was going to do something about it. And I called them 2 days ago, and I told them, what's going on with this? Oh, we'll get this to the governor. Well, you see, someone is blocking all this stuff. And that's the stuff that's in the legislature right now. There's four bills, Coach.
Hang on.
There's four bills there that they're going to...
Let's ask ourselves this. Why won't the Republicans end abortion? Until we answer that question, all of our efforts are fruitless. Until we understand why they won't, why does the other side go to the mat, fight to death to be able to kill babies? Why won't our guys fight to the death to save babies? Until we answer that question,
because
we're not going to end it.
Republicans make too much money, Coach. Because it's all about appearance. This is the problem with Christianity. It's all appearance. It's all form, but not substance. Like, for giving an example, people, they walk, they go in Sunday, they dress nice. And then what they do, as soon as they leave the church, they go out, get a 40, they go get a blunt, and they go get stupid. They're not being real about it.
Well, get away with it. That's Psalm 82. How long are you going to let these wicked people rule?
But no more. We're going to turn it off. It's over.
Hey, we got to do something. We got to come out of the cave, Randy. We got to come out of the cave.
We can't come in here every day and huddle and prophesy to one another, point out this is bad and this is bad and this is bad and this is bad and this is bad. No, no, we can't do it. Hey, Jared, pull up.
Amen.
Pull up Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena. Pull that up because that it. Boy, I heard that, Lord. Dudes, it's you. What I'm about to read, it's you. This is you. All right? This is you. Hey, courage don't draw a crowd, baby. Courage don't draw a crowd. Teddy Roosevelt said, it's not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, but where the doer of deeds could have done them better. A lot of those, aren't there? Saw that room full of them last night. No, the credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust, sweat, blood, who strives valiantly and who errs, comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? This guy knows great enthusiasm, the great devotions, spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring to do greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold and timid souls inside the church who neither know victory nor defeat.
Amen.
That's where we are. Where we are. Cold and timid souls. There's your title for today's show. Cold and timid souls. Hey, boys. They're killing full-term babies. Hey, Robert. They wouldn't do that to a puppy. They wouldn't do that to a snail darter. They're doing it to full-fledged, full-grown babies.
Post-birth. Post-birth, people. Remember that. After they were born. After they're safely born, they're murdering kids. So it's not abortion. It's child sacrifice.
My pastor spoke on Sanctity of Life Sunday, and we went to New York, and we marched. Or D.C., wherever we went, we march.
Yeah, but Coach, we all know why abortion was legalized originally.
On lies.
It was all to eliminate the low income, especially the black. We know that. Has it changed?
No. No.
The real truth of it is why nobody's wanting to change it, because that's it.
Black Americans lose their lives more from the womb than any other issue. Car accidents, disease, anything. Blacks are eliminated this way.
Roger, it's the leading cause of death in America. I had that
yes.
Screenshot up there the other day.
But yet these black individuals, the churches, the leaders fall in line. They've got to be, what are they thinking?
Roger,
they've been seduced by Planned Parenthood. That was the plan of Planned Parenthood from the beginning, was to go into the black church, get black ministers and leaders to support the Planned Parenthood. And that's what they've done.
Yep, and kill those kids. Kill them.
And that Jezebel spirit has now morphed into a position of authority. Why? Because standing in the positions of authority in America have been Ahab's cowardly. What was that? What did Teddy Roosevelt call them? Timid, cold, and timid souls who know victory nor defeat. See, they know victory when they win their election, but other than that, they don't know. Pastors are cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Yeah, go ahead.
Choose to hear God and hear what he's saying to us. We're to be Elijah, or we can just go hide in the cave. It's that choice. That's the choice.
So here's the sad part of it, Randy. We don't have good choices now. There aren't any good choices left. You understand what I'm saying? There aren't any good choices left. We Christians in particular are an occupied people. Women and children are ruling over us. This
Alexandria Cortez. Do you understand the media is promoting her? Don't you understand that Jezebel spirit, not only a woman, but a young woman ruling over us? Can't we see with spiritual eyes exactly what's going on? And can't we see that President Donald J. Trump is standing in the pulpit of America saying, please, church, come. Come help me, church.
One 450.
And the
450 prophets of Baal, Coach. One man stood against them all.
And the pulpits are silent. More on that tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you.